Welcome to Jennings. We're sure you've never seen anything like this in your life. And these were cops. I'm Acadia Einstein, and this is Strangeful Things.
Wellness practically calls me to just get you destroyed.
Unsolved, unresolved, and super complicated.
Strangeful Things.
All right, so before we get into the story, I know last week we talked a little bit about what's going on in the country right now, but I feel like some of the conversation I've had about the police over the past week have put me in a position where I need to start out with a little bit of a tangent. I chose to do this story purposely, though there are so many stories of murderers going uncaught because the victims were sex workers that it makes my fucking heart hurt to think about it. And yes, this is a comedy show that talks about real topics, but just for this little bit of time, I'm going to be serious. Because while I know the plural of anecdote is not data, there are an awful lot of anecdotes and factoids, etc., about the cops that I need to say out loud. And Mel's and Chewy, I'm not even saying that you need to respond to it, which I know does not make for scintillating radio, but for fuck's sake, if we don't say this shit, then it might get buried again. Not that people look into Strangeful Things as their way to form opinions on the issues of the day, but fuck it, this is the platform we have. Is that fair?
Fair enough.
All right. By the way, I'm Acadia, and this is Mel's and Chewy. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hi. Yeah.
So... Normally, this would be the time that we'd say, if you don't want to listen, you can fast forward. But no, don't fast forward. And if you're going to say, I don't come here to be preached to, blah, blah, and stop listening, then go the fuck ahead. Because it's not like you don't know how I feel if you follow me on Twitter, but it's more than how I feel. It's this collection of shit in my head, and I'm going to just say it, and consequences be damned. Not that I'm expecting a ton of consequences, but plus there's a point to it as it relates to the show, this particular episode. So I know it's not the motto of every police force. In fact, it might only be Los Angeles, but I think to protect and to serve is pretty well thought of as what the cops are supposed to do. And I'm not getting into a bunch of stories of cops doing good things, because that's like praising a grown person for not shitting their pants. They're supposed to do good things. That's not news. And fuck the whole bad apples idea, because the bad apples don't get taken out of the goddamn barrel. Which means that the whole barrel becomes rotten. Because isn't that what they say? Is that why you're supposed to get rid of the rotten apples so they don't spoil the barrel?
That's what they say.
Yeah, well, fucking barrel. Anyway, when I was in college, and Shua, you'll know who I'm talking about, I think, and we don't have to name any names, but I learned what a drop piece was from a cop. And for anyone that doesn't know, some cops, who knows how many, have knives or guns with no serial numbers in case they kill someone and need to say that they had a weapon. This is a thing. It's a thing where the cops are protecting and serving themselves, nobody else. So think about that for a second. And I'm sure this isn't new to a bunch of you, but cops sometimes have untraceable weapons that they keep as their property in the event that they need to say, oh, that person had a gun, that's why I had to kill them. Now, that doesn't seem to matter as much anymore because they don't give a fuck who's watching them when they're killing somebody, but whatever. It's still a thing. Also, don't fucking nitpick. I know that knives don't have serial numbers. I meant just for guns. They don't have, it would have to be quite a fucking knife if it was going to have a serial number. So, I also had an acquaintance once who gave me a card that basically said I was a friend of the cops and I was supposed to show it if I ever got stopped. First of all, I never remembered to show it, and it was probably because I would have been too embarrassed, so I took my speeding tickets like a fucking chump, and I think I may go to jail if I get stopped for speeding in New York. Sure, you might want to check that for me.
You didn't do well the last time you were here.
I literally, and that was part of it. Yeah, Mel's, did you know that? Like, Shuri and I went to a convention, and we drove I don't know where the fuck we went. We were like all the way in Brooklyn, and then I got a ticket for like $1 million because they said I was looking at my phone.
No, I did not know about this.
Yep, it was the most expensive trip in the world.
Oh my God.
Oh my word.
Well, first he got pulled over pulling into an HOV lane, not from a designated point.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that that was a thing.
So they let him off on that because they felt bad. They saw he had an out-of-state license. But then the other one, he was looking at his phone at a light, and the light changed. And I guess they saw that he was looking at it, so they pulled him over.
Damn, so, son.
Yeah. But it could have been, you know what I should have said? I should have said I wasn't looking at my phone. I should have said you had your dick out.
Oh,
see, that God. They would have gone for.
Yeah, see, that can't be a crime. All right. The concept of this get out of jail free card shows that the law is not evenly distributed amongst the Gen Pop. Because why would I theoretically be able to get out of a ticket just because I helped somebody move a couch once? And the fucking card was real, as in like it was from a print. It was hard plastic from a print run. They make a lot of these things. Do they work? I don't know. I got rid of mine and I drive more slowly now. But if you've ever gotten one of these
PBA cards.
Yeah. So that's a real thing, right?
Heck yeah.
It basically means you're above the law.
There was a big thing in the city a few years ago where people were getting sick of them because the cops were giving so many out. And the cops argued in court that it was their right to help their friends.
What the fuck is this?
Really?
Yeah. I have never heard of this. No, I guess I'm not privileged enough. Yeah,
it was like benefits.
And what I mean by that is I wasn't running with the right circle of folks, I guess.
Yeah, right. So now this might be off the wall, but how come when we watch cop shows, we don't blink an eye when there's a dirty cop storyline? There's never storylines on doctor shows where the bad doctors overbill Medicaid, even though that happens all the fucking time. You know what I mean? But shitty cops, bring it on. I've been watching Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, and a cop. Spoilers, so if you do want to skip ahead because you're watching that terrible ass show, then skip ahead like 15 seconds.
You don't like City of Angels?
It's not horror.
It's not the original Penny Dreadful, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. And what's her face? The lopsided face one. She isn't making up for it.
Yeah.
Natalie Dormer.
Yeah. So even though they got her playing like 17 parts, she can't carry it. Anyway, so now skip forward another 15 seconds. They just totally made a guy do a false confession in order to help out his partner. And this is like the good guy cop. Because the other cops in the precinct were super racist and they were going to get a confession out of the kid by, quote, putting a cigar out on his tongue. Now, I get that it's fiction, but why is it such a go-to thing that's so easy for people to believe? Like, ponder that for a second.
Well, look at the show The Shield. That whole show is about a guy who beat confessions out of people.
And Bad Lieutenant, Harvey Keitel, made those girls in the car make a blowjob face while he whacked it in the street.
God.
Yeah, he did.
All right, that might not have been as believable as a lot of the other things, but some police forces have done slowdowns in order to show people what happens when you fuck with their budgets. That means the cops, who insist that if they don't do their jobs, there'll be anarchy, decide to not do their jobs as well. Now, there's been documented incidents like one where people in an office called the cops because someone was stalking one of the employees and they were outside. And the cops told them it would be hours before they could get someone out there. And if they wanted to know why, they should call their city council person who cut their budget.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? Either becoming a cop gives you a duty or it doesn't. There's none of this halfway shit. And speaking of halfway duty, like, are you supposed to be a good guy or just a cop? Why are there laws in 35 out of the 50 states that say it's legal for a cop to have sex with a woman who is in their custody as long as it's consensual?
Mm-mm.
And if the woman says it wasn't consensual, then it's her word against the fucking cops.
Mm-mm. That's disgusting.
Including being handcuffed. And it's a law in 35 states. And you know how, like, every law originally started with somebody getting fucking screwed over, and then somebody went, wait, no, time out. That's not fair. You know, there ought to be a law against such and such.
Right.
This is like the opposite of that. This is like, yeah, well, I totally banged this girl that I picked up for drunk driving, but she was totally asking for it. So I don't know why she's trying to sue me for sexual assault. There should be a law that says that I can have consensual sex with somebody who I just arrested. Hmm. And 35 states went, you know what? That makes good sense. Let's go with that. Now.
Yeah, I bet I can get like 33 out of those, right?
Yeah, right? Now, I'm almost done, but there's a couple more things that are more conceptual. And the first one is the fear that some people have that without cops, though, honestly, for the most part, nobody is saying there should not be cops. They're saying that in a lot of instances, there should be somebody instead of a cop handling something. But the cops say, well, without us, we'd be overridden with crime. The funny thing about the slowdown I mentioned a minute ago was that crime went down during the slowdown. Why? Because cops weren't out shaking kids down looking for weed and other petty bullshit. So the number of people they were arresting went down because they weren't out there actively looking to fuck with people and arrest them for their nonsense. I'm pretty sure that if there had been an active shooter in Times Square, they would have gotten off their asses and headed over. But other than that, it kind of blew up in their faces because instead of this wave of well, we live in Mad Max world and the only thing that's protecting us from it is the cops. On the other hand, it was just, yeah, people are just going around living their lives and generally don't need to be arrested every 2 fucking seconds. Now, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you've come to realize a few things. And one is that the cops show up after shit has already happened most of the time. And that makes sense because how the fuck would they know if something's going to happen? Well, in the case of the stalker, they would have known because somebody called and fucking told them. And I guess with stalkers, that happens a lot, that they get reported and the cops say, and part of this, I guess, is the laws, but they say, well, yeah, well, he hasn't committed a crime, so call us when he commits a crime. Well, the crime will be killing the woman. Hmm. Not to mention they show up after the fact, and however many thousand or over 100,000 untested rape kits are just sitting around in America right now. So nobody who commits a fucking crime thinks they're going to get caught. Or if they think they might get caught, they don't give a shit. So the idea of a cop being a deterrent, unless he or she is there looking at you specifically when you're thinking of committing the crime, is nonsense. But that doesn't mean that we don't need cops at all. I've had, I swear to God, 50 arguments with people about what defund the police means. And in my humble opinion, it means that the actual cops with the tanks and the bombs and their bombs and their guns are the people who get sent to the hellscapes that we create because humanity sucks. Someone microwaves their baby? Who do you send? Because that happens. Someone's holed up with a shotgun and some hostages? Who do you send? I know we need detectives, but I also think there are some situations where the cops as we know them today are necessary. Maybe I'm wrong. The British cops don't have any guns, and they don't seem to be falling apart at the fucking seams. But then again, there aren't 300 million guns in Britain waiting for some dink to pick them up. Anyway, what does this have to do with the story? Well, it's all in one way or another about the power that the cops have over everybody, but specifically the poor. The poor who don't have lawyers, who can get bullied into pretty much anything, The show Law and Order splits things between the cops, the law, and the DAs, the order. But so much can happen to a person before order even becomes a fucking factor that it seems just rotten to the fucking core. Cops can do whatever they want, and there's not anything people can do in the moment to stop them. For fuck's sake, like I said before, they don't even care now if they're being filmed. So what the fuck do cops who have some skin in the game get away with in the dark when their body cams aren't on? This story might end up being about that, because honestly, the whole thing is so fucked up I can't even tell it in one episode. So get ready for part one. And that's the end of my rant.
Good rant.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Haven't you had this same conversation with people like 73 times?
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing people who, like, all you see is conservatives making arguments that are against the wrong thing. Like, they don't understand any of these things. They don't understand Black Lives Matter. They don't understand, yeah, what defund the police actually means. And they make these arguments that are just ridiculous and twist everything. It's exhausting. That's, you know, why I got to stay off social media and stuff.
Yeah. And I don't like thinking about people who live their lives believing that at any minute some guy is going to fucking bust into their house and fuck their face with a brick. But there are people who feel like that all the time. I cannot imagine what it's like to be that terrified.
Yeah. I can't imagine being a Black mom with sons and just being afraid every day that they could go through a stop sign or fucking fall asleep at a Wendy's and
lose them.
End up in the fucking news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. Well,
that's all coming out.
Yeah.
The rest of this story is not going to make anybody feel any better. I guarantee you that. So with that, all right.
Yay, all right. Yeah.
And if you want to get cheered up, go back and listen to the Fresno Nightcrawler. Because that's our fallback. Whenever things get a little too heavy, you can always just go back to Fresno and look at that little ghostly pair of pants.
Cutting the rug.
We're going back to Louisiana this week, not for the Axeman, but we're going to a little town of about 10,000 people called Jennings. It's halfway between Houston, Texas and New Orleans on Interstate 10. And before we even get to the story, we need to talk a little bit about the town of Jennings and how it was famous for being shitty way back in the 90s, thanks to Dateline.
Oh, Dateline, what would we do without you and Unsolved Mysteries?
Not have a show?
You know what? The fact that, did you know they're bringing Unsolved Mysteries back?
Yes, I can't wait.
Oh, on Netflix? Who's hosting? Yep. It's not the same without Robert Stack.
I know.
The ghost of Robert Stack. He's coming back from the grave.
I won't even watch the very first ones simply because I love that man so much.
The humble owner of a pancake shop is brutally murdered.
I know, in his tan trench coat.
Yeah, exactly. They should do it with like a hologram.
Oh,
they should just have an empty trench coat and a person imitating Robert Stack. And that would be cheaper. They wouldn't have to pay somebody.
Dunna. You know, man, I cannot wait for this reboot, though, because I'm just hoping that it features the same amount of people just chain smoking in their homes. Like in the original series, because I went a big portion of my life not realizing that there are several people that don't smoke in their house.
And I mean, yeah, those people were fucking weird though back then.
I mean, they had the glasses.
Yeah, it was the 80s. Everybody smoked.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was amazing. That was, gosh, that hands down best show, and I cannot wait for the reboot.
Actually, you know what? Mark this down, because we're going to do something for the Patreon. I'm just going to tell a story from Unsolved Mysteries that scared the living fuck out of me when I was a grown-ass man And it still scares me when I think about it. It gives me the chills. So, all right, we'll do that later. Anyway, the Dateline episode that we're talking about for this centered around the cops and Jennings pulling people over and just taking their shit. It was robbery, but it was legal because of something called civil asset forfeiture. Now, according to PelicanInstitute.org,
civil asset forfeiture is not a sex act. I'm just kidding.
Could be.
Oh, okay. It enables police officers to seize and prosecutors to take ownership of private property without arresting, charging, or much less convicting anyone of a crime. Almost every state and the federal government has civil asset forfeiture laws. However, Louisiana's laws are among the nation's worst. Go figure. Louisiana's civil asset forfeiture laws are poorly ranked because the state's forfeiture laws give law enforcement an incentive to prioritize pursuing crimes that include the forfeiture of property over other crimes. Indeed, Louisiana law enforcement has collected nearly $180 million from state and federal forfeiture since 2000.
Jesus Christ.
That's only 20 years.
That's only, like $10 million a year.
I know. Yep. That's fucking crazy. Not only do police and prosecutors reap financial rewards from civil forfeiture, Louisiana law allocates 20% of forfeiture proceeds to the criminal court fund, which pays judicial staff salaries, thus giving judges an incentive to rule against property owners.
So let that sink in.
Jeez, let that fucking sink in. What does it want?
Just, I hate you do that all the time. And it always, I always go, what? And then I go, ah, fuck.
You fall for it every time.
Every time. God damn it. So apparently the cops were pulling over people without estate plates and just shaking them down because they could use this fucked up law as a cover. So Dateline rigged a car that could not physically go over the speed limit. Like it had a governor on it. And they tricked it out with hidden cameras. And sure as shit, they got stopped. The point being that way back then, it was a proven fact that this little town had some crooked cops. The other point being that if the cops want to get you, they're going to fucking get you. Because when they asked the sheriff, who will come up later in the story, well, why, you know why they stopped him? Well, if they stopped him for speeding, they must have been speeding, even though it was genuinely physically impossible for the car to speed.
Mm.
But if the cops say you were speeding, how do you get to say you weren't speeding? You don't.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a friend whose daughter got pulled over for going through a red light on a corner that had cameras, and the cop said his word overrides the cameras.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
So, if the cops want to get you, they're going to get you.
Yeah.
Now, Jennings has railroad tracks running through the middle of it. And hey, guess what? The nice houses are on one side and the shitty houses are on the other side. What? Like, why is it shit really like how it is in crappy crime novels? Like,
where do you think they got it from?
Yeah, you think those guys came up with these great ideas?
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that it would be bad the nearer to the railroad tracks you got, and then the further away it would get better?
Well, I don't know.
Like, because if you were on the rich side of the railroad tracks, but you were right next to them, wouldn't you still be like, I gotta listen to these fucking trains all night. I don't care how rich I am. My mansion sucks. All right. So you know how they don't have counties in Louisiana? They have parishes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the parish Jennings is in is called Jefferson Davis Parish.
Oh, God.
Named after the president of the fucking Confederacy. So that seems fairly topical given the events of the day.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people call this case the Jeff Davis 8, but fuck that, because fuck that guy. We're calling it the Jennings 8.
Yeah, fuck that all guy. Right?
Hell yeah.
So, and I had my brainwave moment about the whole statue fight that everybody keeps having about the whole erasing history nonsense. If you think that statues are erasing history, do you think we should put the statue of Saddam back in Baghdad?
Mm-mm.
Or did we erase history? Because I think people remember that Saddam was there without having a big fucking statue of him in the middle of town.
Yeah.
Fuck. Fucking dinks. Like they brought like 17 statues with them back and forth to school to do their homework. We're doing my history. Without all these statues. All right. So what's our story? Well, it starts with, as so often with this show, a murder. In a lot of stories, the victims get lost in the maelstrom of the horror. But that's not happening with this, because the info we're using is from the book, documentary, and Medium post by Ethan Brown. This guy, basically this investigative journalist, would not let the story go. And every single piece of research that you can find that's not from the cops or this weird series of very, very specific blogs is from this guy's research.
Nice.
He made it into something. Otherwise, honestly, I wonder if anyone outside the local area would even know what anything happened. Anyway, on May 20th, 2005, a little over 15 years ago, and weirdly, about the time the gallery was born, a man named Jerry Jackson was fishing when he saw what he thought was a mannequin in the water, but it wasn't. It was 28-year-old Loretta Lynn Chason Lewis. She was a known prostitute in the town, and according to a message left by her dad on the Jefferson Davis Parish Sheriff Office website, quote, "We love and miss her. She was a loving mother, wife, and daughter. If you have any information about her death, please let someone know," unquote. Now, that message, along with a picture and some basic height and weight information, is all you can find on the sheriff website about her. Not that there should be a list of all the clues they've found, but I guess the fact that it's still there when it happened in 2005 and there's only 10,000 people in the whole fucking town, it seems like they could have questioned all 10,000 of them by now. In fact, what's the math on that?
Well, say 3 interviews a day, 5 times a week, 52 times a year, is 780 a year, which means they would have been done about 3 years ago.
And that doesn't factor in babies or blind people or shit like that. So honestly, they don't have any excuse for not having solved this yet.
Yeah.
The second body was found on June 18th, 2005, and belonged to Ernestine Marie Danielle Patterson. She was 30, and her partially clothed body was found by people who were out catching frogs at night. People who do that are called froggers, and I know I don't have a job, but I am not going to be a frogger.
Well, then I guess you don't want to work, because frogging is an honest living.
That's right.
I've been frogging before, okay?
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I've been gigging frogs before. That should not surprise you.
What's gig? What's that verb mean?
A gig is like the big thing that you put into the water to get the frog.
A net?
No, it's got a little, it's like a little spear, like Poseidon would use.
Jesus Christ. You are a fucking hill jack. You are
I know. And don't worry, before anybody gets upset, this was not for sport. We ate the frog legs.
That's okay. Worse.
Why? There's a delicacy.
Catch and release.
You can if you spear them through the middle of their body.
Yeah, they're not going to recover from that.
I think that the French people are always like, ha ha, stupid Americans thinking frog's legs are a delicacy. We never said that at all.
Well, also, if you grow up with not a lot of money, then you have to be like, you have to eat what you can get. Yeah. And so, I mean, I say that sort of facetiously, but also it is a delicacy if you're used to eating things like squirrels or turtles.
Jesus Christ. I found a turtle in the pool the other day.
Wow.
And I took a picture of him before I got him out. Mrs. Ack posted it in her fucking like wildlife rescue thing, and like 95 people all Karen'd her going, "That's a box turtle. They can't drink chlorine." And she's like, "No fucking shit. He took it out of the water."
That's Jesus still in Christ. There.
Right?
Aww.
Anyway, as far as frogging is concerned, I'm not saying it's not an honest living, but I don't have a boat, so I would have had to be like an assistant frogger and fuck that all day long. If I'm not going to be boss frogger,
boss
I don't want to do it.
Boss frog.
So Patterson was found in a drainage canal, and while the cause of death for the first victim, Loretta Chason, was not known, Ernestine Patterson's throat was cut. The autopsy found a lot of drugs and booze in her system. The investigation would see the cops pull fibers from the trunk of a car that they thought might have transported her body, and they had witnesses who named suspects. They said that Patterson had been out doing sex work when she got involved with Byron Chad Jones and Lawrence Nixon, who allegedly drove her out to an abandoned house and killed her with a hunting knife.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, according to Nixon's wife at the time, she saw them carry an industrial-sized trash bag that was leaking blood and put it on their porch for a period of time. Now, Jones and Nixon were arrested, but they were later let go due to lack of evidence. There are no records that the police ever went to the house where the murder supposedly took place to look for the knife, but they did check the porch for the presence of blood and they didn't find any. Of course, it took them 16 months to get around to testing the fucking porch, so...
Wow. I'm
pretty sure that even myself, who has not washed his porch in... ever, because that's not a thing you do. If it had blood on it 16 months ago, I'm sure that it's gone now.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even be able to use luminol and see? Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Doesn't seem like it. But they didn't find anything anyway. Also, do people wash their porches? Am I just gross?
Well, probably.
I think you're just gross because my parents have always washed their porch, but
I pressure wash the bricks on the front.
There's a lot of pollen and stuff, so
that's natural.
Yeah. It's not a covered porch, so that might be a difference. If yours is covered, right, then yeah.
Well, it's got a little roof on it.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. They wash the uncovered part. How about that?
All right, fine.
Okay.
I can't pressure wash the deck because then the rest of the paint will come off it, and then I'll have to paint it.
Ooh, yeah, no. And
I ain't trying to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No. I did walk around the other day pounding all the loose nails back down into it, though. Felt handy as fuck.
That's what she said.
So, there would not be another death until 2 years later, when the body of Kristen Gary Lopez is found in another canal on March 18th, 2007. The cops arrested local pimp and crackhead Frankie Richard, and oh boy, will this fucker come up again, and his niece Hannah Connor for the murder, but again, the charges would be dropped. Lopez was also a sex worker, as was the fourth victim, Whitney, spelled W-H-I-T-N-E-I, Dubois, which I don't know why I went out of my way to say how she spelled it, but it's just such a fucking weird way to spell it that I felt like it needed to be included.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
So her body was discovered at a crossroads in May of 2007. She was a mom, and the baby's father had a brother who happened to have been married to Loretta Chason, the first victim.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's just the beginning of a huge number of ways these women's lives crossed over one another. And it isn't just that it was a small town. Like, I live in Matthews, which is a town so small it couldn't support a fucking Burger King. So now the only one we have is in the next town over. And Matthews has 32,000 people in it. Now, Ronkonkoma,
yeah,
where Shuey's from, it's such a nothing place that they let Shuey live there, and it has 19,000 people, which is almost double what Jennings has. Do you have a Burger King, Shuey?
What? Why don't I tell you to F off, because we have a Burger King, a Wendy's, a McDonald's, a Checkers, a Taco Bell, a Friendly's, a Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin-Robbins, a Panera Bread,
a diabetes clinic, a multiple bagel shop, portable EKGs for everyone.
Friendlies.
Oh. I've never eaten at a Friendlies.
Friendlies is good. They have black raspberry ice cream.
I've always heard that it's good. I've just never actually seen one.
No, I don't think they're anywhere outside the Northeast. And Mel's, we can't go by you because you live in Reno, which is the big city with 250,000 people. So you probably have like three Burger Kings and a fucking Arby's and an A&W.
Oh, yeah.
They only have those in airports.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's an A&W, but there's an In-N-Out. There's a Wiener Schnitzel. And that
is that Chick-fil-A?
There's two of those.
Are they always packed?
Oh, yeah. It's disgusting.
I don't get it.
I mean,
I honestly don't get it.
Me either. There's a Popeyes. There's a Taco Bell. A Del Taco. Pollo Loco.
Oh, you got it all.
Yeah,
you do have it
pretty
all.
Lucky. Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty lucky. I'm pretty lucky. My teeth are all loose. I feel like
my choice. My teeth are fast food, so I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I will say this. We are getting a Krispy Kreme, which is really exciting if you come from, like, the South, where I came
from.
Right. Basically got your first donut at, like, 6 months old. So, but my hometown, however, we didn't have any fast food restaurants until I was in high school. We got a McDonald's.
Yeah, mine still doesn't have any. My hometown.
Yeah. And they just got a Burger King. So
I've decided, well, now I want to know if Jennings had a Burger King, but I'm going to guess no.
Burger Kings are very classy. No, they only go in certain places. So.
They're the Cadillac of hamburgers.
Yeah. Flame-broiled. Or no, is it char-broiled or flame-broiled? I don't know.
Flame-broiled, baby. Char-broiled is fucking Dairy Queen, which doesn't make any sense. Oh. Anyway, my point with all this town shit was that Jennings was fucking small. SM all. And all four of the victims so far have been drug users and sex workers. Though when they say sex worker, they make it sound like it's Hunts Point with a million sex workers walking up and down the track. This seems like it was more of a situation where drug users are paying with sex instead of money, or getting the money from sex and then buying the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I know that might be a distinction without a difference, but I guess, I mean, if you end up with less money at the end of the night than you had when you started, then you aren't really working, but rather you're just feeding your fix, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, because sex worker to me means I'm going to go to work, have some sex, get some money, and then go home and watch TV. And bitch about work, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as it's work, it's not fun. And the what they're talking about with this is more like, well, I'm around a bunch of people that will pay me to have sex with them so that I can get more drugs. And that's just way different.
Yeah.
So if that number seems high to you, as far as how many sex workers there were, apparently it isn't. Because I looked up how many sex workers per 10,000 people there are. And according to Wikipedia, in the United States, there's 31 sex workers per 10,000 people.
Oh, wow.
So that seems like a lot. That means that my town has 93 sex workers in it, and I don't count as one because nobody has signed up for my OnlyFans or my private Snapchat.
Yeah. Well, ever since the Rona hit, all the Asian massage parlors have closed down, so that's got to have really cut into Ronkonkoma's numbers.
That's true, too.
Mm. Yeah, the brothels out here had to close.
I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex work here. And it's legal.
Yeah, but that's legal. That's legal, like, real working. That's like, ah, fuck.
Well, you that's gotta true. Yeah.
Punch in and shit. morning, Ralph. So since I'm not giving anybody my OnlyFans because it doesn't exist, you can go to patreon.com/strangeful and you can pay for all of us at once.
What?
Did I make it sound sexy?
That was disgusting and gross.
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
But what a deal, huh?
Yeah, yeah, you just know it. Maybe you can get one of those cards. It'll be a sexy picture of Acadia on it or something.
Oh, God. Could you imagine? I would burn my mailbox if I got one of those.
I'm like peeking out from behind a curtain all coquettishly.
With a mask on. And I want your arms like over your nipples. Like, ooh.
Oh, I didn't hear you come in.
Oh, I want it to be a shower curtain, too. Not one of those fancy red curtains.
That would be better if I was actually actively taking a shower with the mask on. That actually would be.
You startled me. Come on in.
Leave the money on the dresser. All right.
Leave the money under the faucet.
God. So now, the next body found is what I think you could call suspicious. Not that the other ones weren't, but you know, this one is overly. 23-year-old Laconia Muggy Brown was found at 2 a.m. on the morning of May 29th, 2008. Her body was lying on Rocka Road, which was on the way to the police shooting range. Which everybody made a big deal of, but like by default, it's also the way away from the police shooting range. So
it's a one-way road or like a
exactly right
single road. And
her body was found by a cop. Now, she was clothed except for her shoes, and her throat had been slashed. Her body had been doused with bleach. The cops got more leads and evidence from Miss Brown's body because it was found approximately 6 hours after it had been dumped and it had not been in water. And it's worth noting at this point that Muggy Brown and Ernestine Patterson, victim two, were the only black victims. They were also the only two who had their throats cut. Mm. And Miss Brown had been questioned in relation to Patterson's case, and she had also been linked to a rape case involving one of the Patterson suspects. And to make it even a little bit weirder, she had told more than one person that she had seen Loretta Chason's body before the fisherman, but didn't say anything.
What?
Yep. So now, Laconia Brown left behind a 3-year-old son, and in the days leading up to her death, she had also expressed to her family that she feared her life was in danger. And this is another commonality among the victims. In more than a few cases, they were outwardly worried that they would be killed.
Wow.
Like, they're not fucking around. Like, these women were, a lot of them lived at home with their parents or with each other or in a small circle of places.
Right.
And they talked to each other and they were scared, like stone fucking cold scared. And we're going to get into it in part two of why they were so goddamn scared. But the fact that so many of them said, fuck, I'm afraid someone's going to kill me. And then they ended up dead. That's not super normal. You know? Just saying.
No.
So now we're up to five bodies with no real suspects. On August 29th, 2008, Crystal Shea Benoit Zeno was seen at the Sonic drive-in in Lake Arthur, the next town over from Jennings. She was never seen alive again. Her body was found by hunters on September 11th of that year near a dry irrigation canal. The body was in an advanced state of decomposition, indicating it had been there for a while, and it actually took 2 months for her body to be identified.
Oh, that's so sad. Ugh.
Yep.
God, it wasn't even like 2 weeks.
Now, it's Louisiana,
it's
still summer, so fuck.
It's summer.
Now, not long after that, a guy named Russell Carrier, 43, from Lafayette, called in a tip that he had seen three African-American men, including a known associate of Frankie Richard, exiting the woods. And on October 10th, 2010, Carrier was run over by a train in Jennings.
Mm-mm.
And according to, I shit you not, the official quote from the police chief, Carrier laid down on the tracks, quote, for whatever reason, unquote, and got run over.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, he didn't know the reason, so he had to put that.
For whatever reason, he went, I gotta stretch out.
A nap.
This seems like the perfect place to lie down. I can rest my head up on this one hard, cold metal bar and put my feet up on this other one.
I really need to straighten my back out a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. The chiropractor told me I should find something hard to lay on, so here I go.
Got this nice, wooden board between them. Oh, this is
Jesus
perfect.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-mm.
So,
now I must make an astute observation here, if I may.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This is me going very Ace Ventura, but a majority of these victims have four names.
It's true.
Okay, because every time you tell me a name, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4?
Like, how many people is that?
Yeah, I'm like, that's the name of one person. So I just wanted to point out in case anyone had not noticed.
I think it's funny because they also end up getting called, like they get shortened as the story goes on. Like they drop one of the names, like Loretta Chason Brown, I think it was. She was just called Loretta Chason the rest of the time. And it was...
Wanted to wholly identify them.
Yeah. Loretta Lynn Chason Lewis was her name, and she ended up being called Loretta Chason most of the time. I think some of it was because most of them were married.
Gotcha. Right.
And they included their married names.
And their middle names.
And their middle names, and, you know, as complete as they could be. So... that was a good observation there, Detective.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Mills.
Got my mom.
On November... on November 2nd, 2008, 17-year-old Brittany Gary went to the Family Dollar at about 5:30 p.m. to buy some minutes for her cell phone. The security cameras have her leaving the store normally, and she was never seen alive again.
Mm-hmm.
Her body was found on the 15th of November on the side of the road. Her death was ruled a homicide by asphyxiation. Now, Gary was the cousin of the third victim, Kristen Elizabeth Gary Lopez.
Oh, my word.
Muggy Brown had been her best friend. And Ernestine Patterson, the second victim, had worked for Brittany's mom at Wendy's. So they had a Wendy's. And Brittany Gary had also lived with Crystal Shea Zeno. See, I left out the Benoit. Crystal Shea Benoit Zeno shortly before her death. So think of all those connections.
They ran in a circle. They were all friends. Yep. They all knew each other. It's also a very small town.
Mm-hmm. Now, like the others before her, Brittany had expressed fear for her own life based on the pattern of murders that had been taking place in Jennings. But she was just a fucking kid. Much younger than the other victims, though it was said she was living the same, quote, high-risk lifestyle, unquote, of sex work and drug use that the other women had been. As far as high-risk lifestyle goes, I understand the idea of it. If you're addicted to drugs, or even if you just like drugs a lot and you're poor, you have to do something to get the money, and the people you're going to be getting the money and drugs from are going to expect things in return. And I don't think either of you would argue that you're not going to find the cream of society's crop in that particular circle.
No, no.
Like, I assume every town has that going on. Like, it just happened that Jennings was being halfway between Houston and New Orleans. It was like we'll stop here for the night for people that were running drugs between Houston and New Orleans.
Right.
So things were accelerated to a degree. And like, as we learned all the way back to the 90s, the fucking town seemed to be pretty dirty. So, on August 19th, 2009, more than 4 years after the first body is found, Nicole Jean Guillory is dumped along Interstate 10 in Acadia Parish. And no, I didn't pick this story because it has Acadia in it, but it was Acadia Parish. She was found by a road crew, and her death was also ruled a homicide, most likely by asphyxiation. That makes 8 women killed in 4 years in a town of 10,000 people. For reference, the national average per year is 6 homicides per 100,000 people.
Oh, gosh.
So that should give you an idea of how out of the ordinary this all is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go annually based on that, they should have 0.6 homicides a year. Because there's only 10,000 people in the town.
Right.
And they're averaging 2 over these 4 years. Now, the first thought was that it was a serial killer. The task force that was created. Now, this task force we'll talk about next week, but it had local, state, and federal agencies involved in it. And they were kind of pushing this whole serial killer thing. But to me, that's nonsense. You know, serial killers don't generally change how they kill their victims. They don't usually hunt outside their own racial tribe. And as we know, there were black and white victims among the Jennings 8. Another thing going against the serial killer idea is that the victims all did run in the same circles and they knew each other. Now, one could say, since it was a small town, the victims knowing each other was much more likely, and that's true. But it still seems like there would have been something more to it if it was the same person. And why would only the black victims have their throats cut? This doesn't seem like a serial killer case.
No.
And if all those other reasons aren't enough, a bunch of the victims said they were afraid they were going to be murdered. And we talk a bit about some of them, but Nicole Guillory went the furthest. She said she'd be killed because of what she knew. And when her family asked what it was that she knew, she said if she didn't tell, they couldn't get hurt. But she did say that according to what she knew, she was in danger because she knew it wasn't a serial killer taking the lives of these women. It was the cops.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
Just got chill bumps.
And that's where we're going to leave it for this week. No cliffhanger or anything.
Wow.
So we have a teeny tiny town, 8 women murdered. It is now 15 years since the first body was found. There have been 0 bookings. Everyone that they've gotten for any of them have been let go without being charged.
God.
And we're going to find out next week just how much they were involved with how the cops dealt with people in the town. And I'll give you one little tidbit. At least 6, and most people say all 8 of the women, had been confidential informants for the Jennings cops and the parish police for at least some time. So.
Shit.
I know this started out with a rant, but I hope now the rant kind of makes more sense, especially because I picked this story specifically because it seems to be about cops more than it is about some random boogeyman killer.
Right.
Which is actually scarier because what the fuck do you do when
the people are supposed to be protecting you are doing this?
Right. Yeah. And it's not just that they're supposed to be protecting you. What did you say, Shuey? The cop overruled a fucking videotape?
Yeah. They overruled the red light camera.
They can do whatever they want. So what the fuck happens when what they want gets really, really fucking dark? You know what I mean?
It's a scary thought. I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of scary parts to what's happening and everything, but ugh.
So, to everybody out there that knows police and is close with police and everything like that, as a matter of fact, I know someone that's very close, a friend of the show whom I care about very much. He's very awesome. Her man is a cop. He's an awesome guy. Do I think he's out there doing a bunch of nasty shit? No. Do I think he's getting tainted by all the nasty shit that's going on? Yes, and that's not right either. But the only way it's going to get untainted is to fucking shine a light on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the show. I don't know what else to say. I know I was kind of over the whole episode.
Well, if you're feeling cheery and all right, if you want to talk about all this, you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Shoey Time. I'm not spelling it again. Mel's Twitter is at Mel's Bells 84, and her Instagram is at Superficial Mel's.
She does tarot cards. She's like a witch.
She is a witch, actually.
Wicked. I will put a spell on you, Cadia, if you don't watch out.
And if you want to fight with Acadia about his rant, he is at Acadia on Twitter and at Acadia Einstein on Instagram. And you can follow the show as well at Strangeful Pod.
Yeah. Follow the show. I really ought to do something with the show. Also, Shuey, you should log into Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while.
Well, if you have a minute, please rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. It will really help us get noticed by new listeners, which is how we grow. And tell your friends, too.
And if we happen to have touched you deeply this week to the point that you want to give us money, you can support the show by going to patreon.com/strangeful and no nudes.
No. Not even the one of you in the shower with the curtain?
That's not nude. That's tasteful burlesque.
That's tasteful. Oh, man.
I was wearing a body stocking.
That makes it even worse.
The shower curtain was all steamed up.
You know I'm taking that picture. You know that, right? Okay. And it's only going to be for the highest level of the Patreon.
Oh, I don't even want to go there. But this is a good segue into everyone count your blessings that you never have to see that.
All right, keep on flapping.
Like the shower curtain.
Bye-bye.